Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
It's impossible to measure the exact amount of disinformation that's currently flooding the social media feeds of Latinx people in Florida, but experts describe it as an onslaught. Messages with false claims about Joe Biden are flooding Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, and even Spanish language newspapers and radio stations.
We've been monitoring them quite closely over the last couple of months.
This is Eduardo Gamarra, a professor of politics and international relations at Florida International University. Eduardo and his team have been tracking the flow of disinformation into Florida's Hispanic communities. They want to know how this information is spread and, in turn, how it might affect the vote. There's one clip in particular that Eduardo keeps thinking about. That's a clip from Actualidad Radio, a popular station in the Miami area. It's the third most popular Spanish language station behind Univision and the top Spanish music station. Eduardo says the woman speaking is a regular on the Agustina Costa show, a Spanish language talk radio program.
Basically, she argues that the Black Lives Matter movement is inspired by black magic, where people are taking over houses, burning houses, and harming people. With a specific warning saying, if you vote for Joe Biden, this is exactly what's going to happen to you. And the recording sort of ends with the woman saying, don't blame us. We warned you that this would happen if Democrats were allowed to win.
Porque eso es lo que están, por eso es lo que están votando, por la anarquía, por las violaciones, por los ataques.
And of course, the implicit message is that Black Lives Matter is dominated by the far-left Democrats, and that Joe Biden, of course, is captured by the radical left.
This kind of targeted disinformation was also used in 2016 to manipulate voters and particularly to suppress turnout among black voters. Recent investigation has shown that a firm working for the Trump campaign 4 years ago categorized 3.5 million black voters as deterrents. The implicit goal was to persuade those voters not to vote. Similar tactics have been used by multiple groups ever since then. While voters nationwide are being bombarded, there's a reason why so many of these dishonest ads and social media posts are popping up in Florida. Eduardo says that even if this disinformation nudges opinion by just 1% or a fraction of a percent within one subgroup within the umbrella group of Latinx, it could affect which candidate walks away with the state's hugely important 29 electoral votes.
Puerto Ricans, of course, 7 out of every 10 are Democrats. But if you can convince 1 of every 10 Puerto Ricans, right, that there is this global Marxist conspiracy or Jewish conspiracy or what have you to change his vote, that changes the outcome of the election.
Today on the show, the disinformation targeting Latinx voters in South Florida and how it could tip the presidential election. I'm Celeste Headlee, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
The vote in Florida is not just important this election. It's important every election. But when we talk about the Latino vote, what exactly does that mean?
In Florida, the Latino vote or the Hispanic vote is a very complex phenomenon because we have 1.3 million Cubans, of which probably 600,000 to 700,000 are voters. We have 1.3 million Puerto Ricans, of which probably a little bit more, 700,000 are voters. Mexicans, about 800,000 Mexicans, who are a very silent group here. A lot of them are undocumented. A lot of them are farm workers and so on. But increasingly, we're now beginning to see Mexican voters in this state. And then we have the Venezuelans, the more recent arrivals who've been coming over the last 20 years, right? And then over the last decade or so, as a result of the financial crisis in Puerto Rico and then the hurricanes, right, we've had this massive migration of Puerto Ricans into Florida. So if you try to understand how they behave politically, then you have to go into each of those groups and understand who they are. Some have come here fleeing right-wing military dictatorships. Some have come fleeing Marxist guerrillas. Some have come fleeing, you know, the tragedy of Venezuela. Most have come fleeing the tragedy in Cuba.
I want to read you a comment that was made by Hector Sanchez, who's CEO of Mi Familia Vota. And he says this, quote, "Widespread and systematic attempts to intimidate Latinos, to cast doubt on Latino voters, all of this is a feature of American politics that has been persistent and consistent, really, since there have been Latinos in American politics."
Well, I think he's correct. Historically, the Republicans have been able to play other Latinos against Cubans. Okay, Cubans have a very high rate of voter participation. In fact, it's even higher than white Americans. They're very proud of the turnout among Cuban Americans because they vote predominantly Republican. But the strategy has always been to kind of suppress other voters. You know, we don't want too many Mexicans voting, and we certainly don't want too many Puerto Ricans voting because they trend Democratic.
I was interested in a message that came from a group supposedly called Cubanos por el Mundo that said the Cuban government is planning to stage a caravan at the southern border and create an immigrant crisis. I was interested because this is such a reflection of some of the misinformation that occurred during the last election. Why do you think this particular message about the Cuban government sending a caravan of migrants would have any kind of play in Florida?
Well, in large measure, and I think, you know, you have to really understand the context that we're talking about here. The reality is that most of the Cuban population in Florida is a product of the Cuban Revolution and its aftermath. Most of the Venezuelan population here is a product of the Chavez government and its aftermath. These are people that suffered in, you know, in first person, the process there, and so have this recurring fear that if the Democrats win, it's really a victory for the Cuban regime. It's a victory for Maduro in Venezuela, and that we're going to become like Cuba and like Venezuela. And where are we going to flee to next? That's really what's underlying all of this.
Eduardo says many of the messages combine political themes with false religious claims aimed at influencing residents who might base their voting decisions on their faith.
One of the other messages that circulates here is that Joe Biden is not a real Catholic. You know, that Joe Biden favors late-term abortion up until the very time, until birth, when it's very clear that Joe Biden has in fact been anti-abortion for most of his career. And only now has he basically said that abortion should be late term only if the mother's life is at stake. But when you talk to voters here, right, Catholic voters, they are convinced that Democrats are going to be chopping up babies even as they come out of the womb. And that's a message that's extraordinarily powerful.
When we talk about misinformation online, we often talk about it in the context of the 2016 election. False stories spread across social media in support of Trump's campaign and the Republican Party. And that's partly what's happening now. Two Democrats in Congress have even called for an investigation into the source of the disinformation aimed at Latinx voters. But to limit our understanding of the issue in Florida to one side of the political spectrum, Eduardo says, would be a mistake.
And it's not just disinformation and misinformation that comes from the right. It also comes from the left. As I look, for example, at some of the statements coming out of Venezuela or Bolivia about COVID, right? One of the greatest conspiracies that's been spouted from that region is that it's President Trump who developed COVID, and he did so to exterminate minorities in the United States and to eventually, of course, stop immigrants from coming to the United States. And that, you know, has been all over the media in Latin America and even, you know, mentioned by former President Morales himself on several occasions. So it's been going back and forth.
There have been dozens of ads placed in Facebook and messages on Twitter and WhatsApp that attempt to spread false information about Joe Biden. But people are especially surprised to see this material appear in two more mainstream, credible outlets, with a full-page ad in the Nuevo Herald, the sister publication of the Miami Herald, and a half hour of paid programming on a popular Florida radio station. I asked Eduardo how the gatekeepers at these organizations allowed this false content to reach their audience.
The insert in the Miami Herald, it ran for 9 months, Celeste. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was a nine-month thing. And it was something that was repeated. And it was really only when, you know, somebody outside of the community found it objectionable. The same thing with the Caracol Radio 17-minute segment that ran, right? That, you know, there was outrage, but there was largely outrage by the Jewish community. And we have a very large Hispanic Jewish community. Yet somebody thought that it was okay to be anti-Semitic for 17 minutes on Caracol Radio. Both of those organizations have taken matters into their own hands, and they have demoted or fired some of the people responsible. The insert, of course, was suspended. But I think the damage has been done. Especially when you look at it in terms of, you know, the amount of support that those views appear to have.
I wonder whether at least some of the messages you're seeing in Florida might be coming from Russia or outside agents. I mean, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, told the House that Russia is using social media to interfere and to denigrate Joe Biden. We know that the Internet Research Agency, which is backed by the Russian government, is using a whole host of fake accounts, specifically on Facebook and Twitter. We know that because Facebook and Twitter told us. Do you suspect that some of these campaigns that are ending up in Florida are also coming from outside our borders?
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, that's been the pattern of campaigns, not only in the United States, but elsewhere. I normally am involved in campaigns overseas, and this is the new reality. For example, let me give you a case in point. There are also conspiracy theories that abound in Latin American politics about Latin American domestic issues. But because we have diaspora communities now, those conspiracy theories that are developed, let us say, in Colombia, are now being repeated in the United States, and they're being tied together. So, for example, Black Lives Matter has been exported to Colombia, and so now you have, you know, the FARC, the radical left in Colombia, is really involved in the Black Lives Matter movement here. Now, who's making that up? Is that, you know, the right wing in Colombia coupled with sectors of the right here in Miami? Yes. Is there likely, you know, some assistance from other actors who are really good at developing these kinds of messages? Probably. And it's been very, very much in Colombian circles here.
So how might this affect the vote, especially among Latinos in Florida, because, you know, the turnout among the Latino community is not usually all that high. Do you think that these false messages and the widespread nature of them could actually depress the vote further?
I don't know if it's going to depress the vote, because most of what we're seeing seems to suggest that there will be a large Latino turnout in Florida, at least, right? But in large measure, the mobilization of the Latino vote, especially here in Miami-Dade County, has been because of this overwhelming message about communism having taken over the Democratic Party and you know, dominating this presidential candidate. So what we're already seeing in some of the polling that we're doing, in fact, is that there's already been a shift. Historically, the Democratic Party has won Miami-Dade County. And historically, other than the Cuban vote, other Latinos tended to be Democrats. Colombians were heavily Democrat, and other South Americans were heavily Democrat. Only Nicaraguans and Cubans were the two communities that voted heavily Republican. Today, we're seeing shifts from 5 to 10% in some of these other communities, among Colombians, for example, although Venezuelans are much smaller among Venezuelans. But we're also seeing some of those small shifts which can make the difference in a state like Florida, where 1.5 to 2% will determine the outcome. That's the objective of this messaging, and it has been effective.
Eduardo, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Celeste.
Eduardo Gamarra is a professor of politics and international relations at Florida International University. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening. TBD is produced by Ethan Brooks and edited by Allison Benedict and Tori Bosch. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. TBD is also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great weekend. Mary Harris will be back in your feed on Monday.